as it dawned, the morning there were thunders and lightning. A great cloud settled on the mountain. The people trembled as they heard the voice of Elohim's own words. A sound of a ram's horn blasting. You shall be a kingdom of priests.
Shalom Aleichem, Mishpachah. This is Don Tamer here again with Paradigm Shift, and thank you again so much for joining us today. Without you guys out there, we wouldn't be sitting here. And we want to give all glory, thanksgiving, praise, honor, and worship to our Father, our forefathers, Yahweh, Yahuwah, Elohim, who sits in the heaven of heavens with our King, Yeshua HaMashiach, sitting at his right hand, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool.
That's right. Hallelujah. Baruch atah, Yahuwah, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kitzanu b'mitzvotav. Blessed are you, Yahuwah, our El, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments. Those commandments, that's exactly what we need to know and understand in order to be part of his mighty kingdom, in order to have the blessing to walk among his people. That should be our focus and our goal. And in understanding his commandments, we have got to get out of where we've come from. We have to understand the origins of the matrix built around us so that we are not confused and confounded anymore. We must break our programming, move our patterns in alert, aware, decided, determined ways.
Mature
so
ways.
So those who would be our handlers or our programmers can no longer lead us around by the nose or our wicked hearts. We must take every thought captive unto Torah HaMashiach, as 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us, and we cannot be conformed, but we must be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we may discern what is that tov, or good, acceptable, and even the perfect will of Yahuwah, as Romans 2:12 tells us.
And that only happens, Mishpachah, by taming the fires of our hearts, the little issues that comes up each and every day that we have must tend to. All we have is today in the breath that we have, that we are speaking out right now, that he's given to us. Praise Yah. Hallelujah. For that breath. So each and every little thing that comes up in our mind, we think is a big issue, whether it's whether we got to call the electric company today, or we've got to go face a lawsuit, or we got to face, you know, Syrian rebels funded by the United States government going in and chopping up little babies and other countries and things, while telling us that they are the terrorists, and we have to go in and, get, and bring peace to this nation by dropping love bombs on the people's heads to top it off.
Guys, doesn't that sound crazy? I mean, really, let's take these thoughts captive. Let's look at this
what is
mind
going on?
Game that they've
what
got wrapped
on?
Around us.
You really believe you're a Christian nation? You believe you're a Jewish nation? You believe you're blessed? Really? Really? You're nations of idiots. You have no idea of your history, of what is going on in the world. You don't even know where continents and where countries are, or where oceans are on this planet. You know, you're
and the Hebrew people, we're not meant to be idiots.
No, in a blessed nation.
That's right.
In a blessed nation, we all understand these things. We know the reality of what's going on. We know the planet. We know greater things than who just won the Grammy Awards, or who the singer is, or what football is, or this, that, or the other. And that
those are such trivial matters
means
that mean
absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
What does mean is that the consent that we give through our silence, through the murders, raping, and pillaging, and destroying that goes on in our name, because we want to live in the comfortability of Babylon and the mother whore arm of Babylon and suckle from the teats, the same teats of Canaan, the dog star Sirius dog in the heavens that Romulus and Remus suckled from to create Rome.
No, thank you. We don't want to be part of that. Okay, Hebrew, what does that mean? Ibri, that means one who has crossed over. That's what he's asking us to do. Come out of all that, get wise. Where do you get wisdom? The fear of Elohim, the fear of Yahweh, is the beginning of wisdom. Okay, so if you get into fear of him and him alone, you will begin to develop the wisdom that his people should be walking with. His people should be discerning the times. His people should be exhorting one another.
But you can't do that unless you and it begins.
Unless you can get your nose out of the TV and the iPods and
that's right.
It's
quit avoiding one another.
Yep,
the reason
yep.
why you go into doing those types of things and discomfort of the whore of Babylon and the culture that she has made for us into movie, all the stuff, is because you're avoiding one another. You're avoiding the issues of your heart that come up each and every day in your life. And let me tell you this, Mishpachah. Father says specifically in his word, the reason why the Canaanites got kicked out of the land in the first place is because they did not tend to the matters of the heart.
So everybody who thinks that that's not important, that's psychobabble, that's a waste of time, and they'd rather decorate their menorahs, you've got it wrong.
Or decorate their churches, or decorate their synagogues, or decorate their Islamic effigies, or they don't use them, but they do it different ways.
They
walk around
rocks.
A black box, which is the symbol of Saturn, and if you look at the top of
and
the
it's an actual asteroid inside of it.
That's right. It's a meteorite, inside of it. And this
was
all brought and developed.
Because you know what? We're all from space, just like the Scientologists tell us. We got alien DNA.
Yeah, and they, you know, these are the Saturn kings. These are the Saturn, Satan, Saturn, Zeus is signified in the planet in their theology as Jupiter, and Saturn is going to defeat Jupiter, and that's Captain Kirk in the movies. That's Prometheus, Zeus, you know, the fire from the gods given to the humans to try to defeat God, Yahweh Elohim himself. And it ain't going to happen. It's brought together all in judgment because we will not treat one another appropriately in our everyday, just little walk existence that we go through, and we create big issues over, and we feel like we can't overcome things.
Okay, I have forgotten in the past couple of shows to let you know how you can contact us. If you want to receive the newsletter that we put out once a week, or if you want to show us stuff, tell us stuff, ask us stuff, I don't know, whatever comes to mind. The way you can get in touch with us is by emailing us. We communicate through email, and that would be petranch@dishmail.net or Todd or Tamara@HebrewNation.net.
We always forget to mention Hebrew Nation as well. The radio station, the idea. It's not even really a radio station; more of an idea.
Building a nation, not a denomination.
Not another denomination. No, we're trying to come together.
They're tired of all the walls too.
That's right, and all the bickering and all the things that go on between our different ideas and stuff. Let's let the Spirit lead us. He's doing it anyway. He's forcing us into the understanding of returning in Teshuvah, back to the commandments, the times, the feast days, the seasons, the foods, the clothing, the proper way that everything functions about us as the creator, as the created in this universe. So Hebrew Nation Radio, listen to them. They got a lot of good teachers
support
on
them.
There. Support them, you know, and support us by your prayers. And if you're moved to give something our way, then do so. We take it and handle it in proper ways and return it out as soon as we get it. So
that's right.
You know,
nothing that we're doing is for us. And that's part of our prayers before
right.
we even come
we'll
on air
paid.
Every single day. Mm-hmm. We try to bind ourselves up, and we want to lose the spirit. We want to just be vessels for what he wants his people to hear. Out of the 15 years of research he's had us doing, we could talk to you all day long. We could never get tired of all the stuff that we have researched and put together. But what he's asked us to do is he's asked us to make it into smaller sound bites so that his people can actually digest it, because he wants you to understand this stuff right now. 15 years of our life isn't wasted in the books and in all the research that we've done. It's actually very valuable right now, because this, what is it?
It's tamed our fears, so we can actually sit before you today in some use in his hand. I was a complete train wreck before I met Tamara. Complete train wreck.
I wasn't much better.
And I was holding on
right?
by the edge, by all of my grip and might, to the skirts of whatever I could find of the essence of our Father and my spirit left in me. As holding on to them, and she comes along, and I decide, you know what? Okay, Spirit, I'm gonna go by you. Wait a minute, I can see that she's a good girl, so I'm going after her, and I'm gonna marry her.
And then I had to grow up for that, right?
And me too.
Now, and I just want to say, okay, remember we've talked about the occultist Alice Bailey, the externalization of the hierarchy, where she says, a time when the satanic plan for humankind would not be the property of a few initiates, but would be promoted openly. Well, that's what we're sifting through here. We're sifting through what has been being built around you this whole entire time. And that's what we want to get back to, because we're still continuing on with our series, The Occulted Kings of Time and Space, and their coming New World Order religion. And we're showing you, how has this been built around you? What are some specific facts that you can point to? And, well, okay, in the past shows, we've been reading to you from all kinds of stuff, and right now we're reading to you from Rob Skiba's book, Babylon Rising. And what we had just gotten done talking about was what happened in Iraq. What happened after 9/11, the bombs went off, the Patriot Act got instated? We're looking at a timeline here, and we're watching a kingdom develop. And so I'm going to continue reading via that.
And they're building their city-states all around the world already, the new cities on these sacred geometrical ley lines that we've been talking with you about, these brand-new fancy cities all over the planet, and these occult, old occult with their Osiris towers or phallic symbols and their pillars and their pyramids, and they're all over the planet. plan. These kings are already moving into those cities and declaring the new world order religion and government from those cities
and
locations
on the earth.
And all of
their signs and symbols
And
are
you're
there.
Still just sitting at home
watching
and you're
TV,
Egyptaire and you have no clue what the train that wrecked it is running over you.
Yeah, and that's, right. Again, that is the American populace. When he says right. you, he's talking to the American populace. And the Hebrews.
The world populace. The world population. Because they've got us in chaos
but
everywhere.
But it's true that Europe knows even more than America does. Yeah, the Russians know more than we do. The Chinese know more than we do. We literally have a prison grid constructed over this nation. And what is the prison grid made out of? Entertainment. That is your prison, Mishpacha.
Education, all of it. But the main thing, number one thing is you being distracted by the electronics and the gadgets and technology that they give to you that you are bowing down and worshiping.
Yeah,
every time
even,
you turn them on and you do more with that than you do with other people.
Because people aren't even, they're not even graduating anymore. The education system has almost become superfluous because there is the actual brain activity levels of the students there are so depleted that they can't even write in English anymore. They can't speak English. They're speaking with, you know, BFF
or
you know,
or
best
anything.
Friends forever or ta-ta for now or whatever these texting languages that
we're going back to.
Communicate by grunts, you know.
If evolution was true, it is true. It's actually what they're doing over us. They just laid that whole story on us. But anyway,
okay. So let's read. Okay. So remember, well, the last thing we left off with was that what the first thing our troops did when they entered Iraq was they raided the Museum of Baghdad. The museum was the victim of a carefully planned assault. The thieves who took the most valuable material came prepared with equipment to lift the heaviest objects, which the staff could not even move from the galleries, and they had keys to the vaults where the most valuable items were stored. Not since the Nazis systematically stripped the museums of Europe has such a crime been committed. So interesting that we were compared to Nazis, who were also quite obsessed with finding ancient artifacts related to pagan gods. What did our troops take? That is up for speculation at this point because it is classified, but one website brings up this juicy tidbit of information. On June 7th, 2003, U.S. authorities announced that world-famous treasures of Nimrod were recovered from a secret vault in Iraq's central bank. Remember who was in charge of the whole central bank? The artifacts included necklaces, plates, gold earrings, finger and toe rings, bowls, and flasks. Officials said that of the 170,000 items initially believed missing, just 3,000 remained unaccounted for, and of those, 47 were main exhibition artifacts. Notice how the trivial things like plates and earrings were recovered and returned? Oh, aren't the Americans great? How nice and noble of them to seek out and return those national treasures to Iraq. But what about the 3,000 unaccounted for items? All we know is cuneiform tablets were a hot commodity. My personal belief is that they were looking for anything and everything to do with portal technology. That was the Tower of Babel. Remember Babel, Door of the Gods. That's what Babel means. Especially, which is a portal. Especially considering that some of the items stolen were from the world-famous treasures of Nimrod. Were blueprints and instructions included in those treasures? If so, they could certainly prove to be incredibly useful, especially if we have the guy who built it.
And you know, this portal technology he's talking about, there's a great website, which I'm not going to pull up right now. I can't remember the name of it. He's a brother that shows the ley lines and all the Sandy Hook, 9/11, Boston bombing.
Michael Arevnu.
And it connects with the Temple of the Sun.
RevelationNow.net, I think.
There you go. Something okay, very good, right. Mom. RevelationNow.net. So it connects with the Temple of the Sun. That's where they had the Aztecs. I believe it was the Aztecs, right? Yeah, I think so. Anyway, sacrificing people and ripping their hearts out and kicking their bodies
Many
down.
Many cultures did that.
Where they would, yeah, they feed, you know, they'd sell it down the markets down the bottom.
And Michael Arevnu's looking up. He's matching it to the stars.
He's
the
matching
star
the stars. So the two things that have occurred, they have a silver gate that they call it and a Golden Gate. One is positioned.
The Golden Gate you enter in, and that is over, I believe, was Taurus.
Between
the Horn of Taurus and Gemini. And then the Silver Gate, I think, if we're doing it correctly, was the exit hole, and that one was over
the back door.
Between Scorpio and Sagittarius, which is where we just had the 2012 alignment that we taught about.
Again, there's your alchemy again, gold and silver, and this is raising men up. It's not about metals turning things into gold. It's about turning men into gods.
That's right.
So you know
DNA.
Each of those events that have happened.
Nimrod became a mighty one. He didn't start out as one.
Became a mighty one. He actually did some. If you read some of the extra writings of our forefathers that are not still canonized, still canonized. You hear my word, still canonized? They once were. You read about Nimrod, and you read some of the adventures that he had before he began to turn evil.
And what a perfect segue into what I'm about to read next regarding Isaiah 13.
So what I want to say about the gold and silver gates and those events that occurred, including the supposed Syrian gas attack, they all occurred underneath one of those, either the golden or the silver gate, right over those points on that
all these massacres,
time.
All of this all the ritual massacres. Magic, and it has everything to do with what's going on above your heads.
That's right, Mishka.
Okay, so this is really interesting. The Septuagint version of the Old Testament gives us something very interesting to consider in Isaiah 13. It says, "The vision which Esaias, son of Amos, saw against Babylon. Lift up a standard on the mountain of the plain, exalt the voice to them, beckon with the hand, open the gates, ye rulers. I give command, and I bring them. Giants are coming to fulfill my wrath."
Did you hear that? Would you repeat that, please, Mom?
"Open the gates, you rulers."
Rulers, open the gates.
Yep. "I give command, and I bring them. Giants are coming to fulfill my wrath."
There you go.
"Rejoicing at the same time and insulting, a voice of many nation on the mountains, even like to that of many nations, a voice of kings and nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts has given command to a warlike nation to come from a land afar off, from the utmost foundation of heaven. The Lord and his warriors are coming to destroy all the world. Howl ye, for the day of Yah is near, and destruction from El shall arrive. Therefore, every hand shall become powerless, and every soul of man shall be dismayed. The elders shall be troubled, and pangs shall seize them, as of a woman in travail. And they shall mourn one to another, and shall be amazed, and shall change their countenance as a flame. For behold, the day of Yah is coming, which cannot be escaped, a day of wrath and anger, to make the world desolate, and to destroy sinners out of it. For the stars of heaven, and Orion, and all the hosts of heaven, shall not give their light, and it shall be dark at sunrise, and the moon shall not give her light."
And then notice he said that the whole world will be destroyed, because the whole Babylonian system is going to be destroyed again. The United Nations, I mean, we've told you before, Freemasonry. There are more Muslims in Freemasonry than any other nationality in the entire world. That's how they get their fingers into and begin to get their nobles and lords and their dukes and their duchesses and all this and that. And we call them today the leader of Iran, the leader of Syria, the leader of this country, leader of that country, leader of Washington, the leader of whatever. But they're all tied together, and they're all tied together into the United Nations. The United Nations has their satanic symbols there in their meditation room. They do all their occult worshiping inside
ritual
there
magic.
And ritual magic inside of there. There's not a single member of the United Nations that is not a part of this, what they call, what you are being taught is the New Age. And you're being taught that you are one. And it's true. That's what our scriptures and our Father tells us. We are one, but we are only one under certain laws, rules, and regulations, and how we treat one another, and how we do economics and everything on this planet.
That's what separates the goats from the sheep.
Goats from the sheep. So what they're doing is they're joining everybody together under the one law of Satanism is do as thou wilt. And if they can get everybody on the planet, this is their belief, they get everybody on the planet to meditate as one in their satanic times and seasons, then that will bring the golden age upon this planet. And they know that it's not going to happen with Christianity, Islam, and Buddhism, the three
largest
religions.
So we've got to get rid of those religions. That's right.
And you've got in Judaism, you got to get rid of these these religions
Buddhism
in order for this to occur.
Yeah, Buddhism isn't one of the largest. It's Islam,
is. Okay.
Judaism, and Christianity are the three main
religions. They're the three main religions that come from the scriptures. They're the ones most connected to it still. Elements of Buddhism, Taoism,
yes.
And all this have the same truths in it. Noah's flood, Abraham,
same story,
the characters
but
of Abraham.
Being a self-god.
And of course, that's already turned
where
into
they want,
that's
yeah.
already turned into self-god. That's why they bring the religions of the East into the Bible so that
so
it becomes Kabbalah, ruled over by the Rothschilds in the House of Windsor, who control and own Israel. They are the kings of this whole 12 tribes that rule this world.
So Orion darkened and giants coming through a gate in Babylon. On one of his online blogs, Tom Horn adds some further intrigue to this whole scenario. Isaiah says, "Open the gates, ye ruler." Whoever this ruler is, he opens gates in Iraq, Babylon, through which end-time giants, Gibberim, return to the surface of the earth as agents of God's wrath. Noting that Isaiah ties the destruction of Iraq, Babylon, with the reappearance of Gibberim, giants, in this way, we recall how thousands of U.S. troops on invading Iraq during the Bush administration admittedly filled U.S. containers with archaeological materials, including what some have speculated to be cuneiform tablets pointing to the location of pure-blooded Nephilim buried in underground caves. This is exactly where Enoch said the dead antediluvian Nephilim are, and raises fascinating questions. Would agencies like DARPA have interest in studying or cloning the extinct beings if they were or have been found? Could man, in his arrogance, revive ancient DNA, revitalizing or blending it with other living organisms in a way similar to what the Watchers did in making the first Nephilim? Is the factual reappearance on Earth of such legendary beings verified by Isaiah, who also foresaw transhuman creatures such as satyrs, which are transgenetic half-men, half-goats, accompanying the return of giants in the end times? Or why other apocryphal books like 2 Esdras 5:8 prophesy the birth of monsters for the same period of time? Some may be shocked to learn that in addition to the citations above, the Bible actually describes an ultimate end times spiritual warfare between the mythological gods and Christ. The Lord will be terrible unto them, for he will famish all the gods of the earth, says Zephaniah 2:11.
Hallelujah.
The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, says, behold, I will punish the gods, Jeremiah 46:25.
Bring it on.
That's from Thomas Horn's book, Forbidden Gates. That certainly should give us pause to think about what was or is going on in Iraq. Let's continue with the timeline. In 2003, J.P. Morgan Chase Bank went into Iraq and set up their new central bank, CBI. They created a new currency which was completely worthless, yet they had some of the most high-tech anti-counterfeit measures of any other currency on the planet. The governments and elite of the world purchased billions of dollars worth of dinar at, is if I'm saying that right, dinar?
Yeah.
At 2,000 dinars, 2,000 or $3,000 to one U.S. dollar ratio. Then they began the process of appreciating the value to its current rate of 1,163 to one U.S. dollar. Already they are in a position for a healthy return, but without revalue, they will make trillions. With a reinstatement, they will have made trillions and trillions more. In 2008, plans were set in motion to collapse the current world reserve currency, the U.S. dollar. The U.S. economy finally collapsed in 2010, and with it, so did the economies of the world. This perfectly set the stage for a new world currency that will ultimately serve the new world order. And then on December 21st, 2010, Nimrod's nation was born again out of the ashes like a phoenix. A blood-red moon floated above Orion's shoulders like a decapitated head above his heavenly body, as if to herald this event at 3:22 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember, one Iraqi dinar used to be valued at $3.22. There's that number. These are just this is either just a bunch of wild coincidences or they're all significant signs. As the above was taking place, the entire earth literally shook in response. There was a great earthquake. We've been at war for more than 8 years. In that time, our troops were trained to put down terrorists and revolutionaries in both Iraq and Afghanistan. Many of our soldiers were required to do multiple tours of duty, actively engaged in what is called urban suppression-style warfare. They were ordered home and to Israel at the end of 2011 and the beginning of 2012.
To start training you.
That's right. On December 31st, 2011, President Obama signed the National Defense Authorization Act into law. This act allows indefinite detention of anyone suspected of being a terrorist. Warrants are no longer required for soldiers, police, paramilitary, and or government officials to enter your home. There is no more innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. That has become a thing of the past. You can now be found guilty of nothing except being on someone's watch list for doing pretty much anything they desire to use against you. Sections 1021 and 1032 are particularly disturbing. Section 1021 affirms the president's authority to detain people via the armed forces. You know, the ones who spent 8 years in on-the-job training for urban suppression of terrorism. Any person the government deems to be a terrorist, and that such a person may be indefinitely detained without trial. An amendment that would have explicitly forbidden the indefinite detention without trial of American citizens was rejected by the Senate. Section 1032 lays out...
Yeah, they're your enemies.
Yeah, and then Section 1032 lays out the requirement for military custody. All persons arrested and detained according to the provisions of Section 1031, including those detained on U.S. soil, whether detained indefinitely or not, are therefore required to be held by the United States Armed Forces. That essentially means Americans can be arrested on home soil and taken to Guantanamo Bay under a provision inserted into the bill that funds the U.S. military. Once there, you are basically gone. No attorney is going to fight for you. You will have no further contact with friends or family, and at that point, you're fair game and subject to the whims of your jailers and the Luciferians who give them their orders. So much for with liberty and justice for all.
So this is a global army with a global law, so how do you like it? You want to keep doing things your way? You want to keep thinking your way about who our Father is and what His times and seasons, His feast days are, and what He requires of you and how He wants you to approach Him? Keep doing it. You're going to get what you've been getting.
keep looking up everything.
In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, may you be set free. Hallelujah.
You shall not bring the name of the Lord your Elohim to naught. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Respect your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet.